You feel it in your shoulders, in your stomach, in the sleep that will not come, and the exhaustion that will not lift. We have been taught to think about stress as something in our heads. But what if the stress you are carrying is quietly shaping your body, your health, and your entire quality of life in ways you never realized? Today's guest has spent more than 30 years studying exactly that, the hidden connection between our emotions, stress, and our physical health. He has worked with championship athletes, top organizations, and everyday people. He is here to show us how things we carry inside show up in our bodies and what we can actually do about it. My guest today brings a rare depth of experience to one of the most important conversations we can have about our health. Daniel is the founder of Conscious and the creator of Conscious Scan Method. For more than 30 years, he has helped individuals, leaders, and athletes and organizations improve their resilience, well-being, and performance, including championship-winning soccer teams and major organizations around the world. His work weaves together neuroscience, stress physiology, heart math, mindfulness, and more to help people understand the deep relationship between stress, emotions, and health. So let's start by shattering a myth, because I think most people get this wrong. Now, we tend to think of stress as a purely mental, something that we feel in our minds, but you've spent decades showing it's so much more than that. What does chronic stress actually do to us, and how does it make us feel?
Yeah, thanks so much, first, for having me here, Stacey, and for your beautiful introduction. Well, let's first talk about what actually is stress. And I think the easiest definition for people to know is stress is experiencing an unpleasant feeling. That's it. Because people think they have stress when they are in a hurry. Yes, that's one form of stress. But you are also stressed when you are depressive or when you're angry or when you're sad. So actually what everything which feels unpleasant is stressful. And what happens is that your heart is electromagnetically 5,000 times stronger than your brain. And if you feel stressed, then your heart rhythm becomes very incoherent. That's because the sympathetic and the parasympathetic branches of the so-called autonomic nervous system, which, for example, drives your heart, they fight each other.
Right.
And then from the heart is a pressure wave going through all the arteries and the veins throughout your entire body. And if that wave is incoherent, then that stress really goes to every cell in your body. The same is true when you feel a positive emotion. And let's say enthusiastic, or you feel gratefulness, then your heart becomes very coherent. Then there's immediate balance between those branches, yeah, the sympathetic and parasympathetic branch, the accelerator and the brake, so to say, put it very simple. And that's a healing response. And not all stress is bad. Before, you were just talking in your introduction about what I did with top athletes. And to have a good performance, whether in corporate world or on the soccer field, for example, you need between 40 and 70% of tension. Uh-huh. Tension is actually a little bit different from stress. It's adrenaline. So if you really need that. But when you are below 40%, for example, PSV, one of the top clubs in the Netherlands, I've trained for 4 years, where we won 3 times the Dutch Cup after each other. Yes. And where I worked with this Conscious Scan, I scanned those players. But he naturally had a very low tension. He was a very relaxed guy. And even when he would play like a final, so he needed a kick in the ass, put on some happy music, and so to get into this 40% zone. And there was this other player, he was so tense before a game that he really had to throw up every time. So I really had to train him to bring him back with breathing exercises, mindfulness exercises, to bring him back between this 40 and 70% range. So if you are higher in your tension than 70%, you will not have a good performance, but also when you are lower than that 40%. And so even for like a podcast like this, you need a little bit adrenaline that you are good in your right energy. Like, for example, for me, it's 1 a.m. at night now here in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just this bit of adrenaline gives you enough surge and energy to be in the zone. And so, and you can train that. But the point is, when you get too high too often, and yes, when you experience unpleasant feelings too long and too deep, whether it be anger or grief or depression, yeah, then adrenaline and the cortisol become too high, and then slowly, yeah, the adrenal glands will burn out, or could burn out. I can see that in the conscious scan, the autonomic nervous system, the central nervous system, the hormonal system, and then in the scan we can see what actually is burned out. But not everybody who says he or she is burned out has a burnout. Right. So 2 days ago, I had a woman, she was about for 6 months home from her work because she thought she was burned out. But the point was, I scanned her with conscious scan, and actually her energy was quite good in her rib cage, in the adrenaline glands, the hypothalamus tract, in the brain. But what I saw was a big energy leak in her heart. And the whole thing was that she wasn't living her passion, that she really didn't like the job. She actually didn't like the colleagues, the work environment. She did it for the money, but you can do that for so long.
Yes.
And then suddenly, so when you do not follow your heart, it's like every time you want to go right, but you take a left. And
yes,
that really takes on you.
Definitely, definitely. And why do so many people completely underestimate its impact on physical health?
Yeah, because we don't learn to feel generally. Also, I don't know how it is in the state, but in the Netherlands, everything is in the brain. So on school, actually, most of it is the left brain. Yeah? Sometimes some creativity things is there, like drawing or music, yes, but it's only like maybe 1/10. But especially, yeah, learning to speak, math, all these things are left brain activity. So
right,
most people become what I call a left brain prisoner. And most people only believe what they can see, and what's so-called
yes,
proven by approved scientists, so to say. But it's a very,
yeah,
very narrow frequency band. The visible light is like 0.0005 of the whole frequency spectrum. So if you attach your whole truth to that very, very small bandwidth, then everything out of that becomes a threat.
Right.
And that's why people hold on so much onto that truth. But the point is, so we are in this left brain and we don't learn to feel. What am I feeling? And I always say, if you want to feel well, you have to learn to feel yourself well. Just very simple. In the moment, for example, all listeners and viewers, I want
yes,
to ask, how do you feel now as we speak? Just this simple question. How do you feel? And be as honest as you can. Three possibilities to begin with, for the beginner feeler, so to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you feel positive? And if so, what's the positive feeling? Maybe curiosity. Or maybe you feel neutral somewhere in the middle. That's also possible. Or maybe you feel unpleasant or negative. So
mm-hmm,
what could it be? For example, and don't make yourself wrong for any feeling. It's like what many people do is like, let's say you give a party and somebody knocks on the door and there's enthusiasm. Hey, enthusiasm, you're here. Take a seat. It's so great that you're here. And then the door rings again, and there you have cheerfulness. And now cheerfulness, take care. And again, the door goes, and there's anger. Ooh, anger. What the heck? Did I invite you? Yes. Anger may also be a guest and sit on the table because it's there.
Yes.
Everything which is there and which you deny will only become bigger, because everything you resist, unconsciously, you give it energy because you have to resist it. And then it
right,
becomes bigger until you cannot deny it anymore.
Right.
And that's the whole definition of mindfulness, is being with awareness with what is without judgment. So there
yes,
is anger, there is depression, there is sadness. And as we say, is notice it and ease into it. Give it space. And generally, there's an action signal behind it. What does that anger tell you? Maybe you have to
yes,
change some things. Maybe you do have to have this conversation with your boss. Maybe,
mm-hmm,
and if you learn to feel with it, it's, and I was very bad at it. Eh? That's just when I was in university. I studied business economy in the Erasmus University. I was just like a walking head.
Right.
And if you would draw me, it was like a big head with a very small body. And I remember me for the first time going to yoga class. So I went into the yoga class and the teacher, so we did a down dog pose with the down dog. And the teacher said, okay, now feel your legs and feel your feet on the floor. And I was literally thinking, what the heck is he talking about? I cannot feel my feet. Can you even feel your feet? I couldn't feel my feet. I was living in my head. So I was also a person who was in the brain. And I really had to work hard of it. And now, fast forward 20 years later, I'm also a Yinga yoga teacher. Yes, I can feel every artery, every tone, and every single part of my skin in my feet, so to say. And everybody can learn that, of course. But I was totally living in my head. So that's, I think, the basic problem. And then generally people with a low body consciousness and with a high tendency to perfection, they are in a real dangerous group because they can sign up for burnout very quickly because they go on and on and on because they want to be perfectionists. And generally, there's insecurity beneath it. Because why you want perfectionists? Because you want approval of people around you because you don't have approval of yourself somewhere. There's insecurity in yourself. And there's so many insecure high achievers also in these top athletes. I've seen so many people when I scan them and then they are in such a high stress and they do good on the pitch or they give a good performance, but it comes with a price. So yes. I believe much more in balanced performance.
I love that. Now, this is where your work gets really profound. And I think it will help so many people understand themselves. Now, you talk about how emotional experiences and even trauma can influence the body and the nervous system. Can you help us understand that connection?
Yeah. So actually, when you go back to the womb, that's a very important part already. So first traumas can already develop in the womb, especially, let's say, a certain mother is pregnant and then her husband or a boyfriend is cheating on her. And she finds out and she thinks, you see, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. You're seeing somebody else. And she really starts to feel bad about herself.
Right.
And there's a child in the womb. Then these thoughts epigenetically. So we have our genome, which is a sequence of the genes. And for example, my blue eyes will stay blue this lifetime. But there's the genome. That's the part of the whole genes that you can literally change by your lifestyle. So a negative thought literally sends neuropeptides and makes a switch on this genome where you can develop a disease if it's long enough. The way around, when you feel and when you think positive, it can send a healing response. Yes. So thoughts literally become things or can materialize into disease. And so this imprint which the child gets from the mother, and let's say now 30 years later, this guy is a consultant. Mm-hmm. And generally he does well, but then there's a certain day where there's a huge opportunity, a project of 10 million, and he has to pitch with four other big consultancy firms. And it's his turn. And generally with fewer things, no problem. But suddenly he feels this huge stress. Somewhere I can't do that. I'm not good enough. And he thinks, what the hell, what is this? And he's shaking, and then he has to go upstage. And he's not really secure and people can sense it and he's stuttering a little bit and he doesn't get the thing because the other guys or women were much more confident and they really love being there. And then he goes to a psychiatrist and then he finds out it's the voice of the mother in him from the womb. Mm-hmm. Which I can find out in the conscious scan because this technology was developed first at Stanford for elite forces of the U.S. Army. Then the Russians took it over, and it was in the Cold War with espionage, counter-espionage, and they made a huge project out of it for their cosmonauts because it's very expensive to get a cosmonaut, let's say with an ulcer, a stomach ulcer, out of space. So they spent millions and millions to develop this health technology, which could already detect the disbalances in a bioenergy field before it materializing into the body.
Wow.
Because the Russians are in a very unique position. So the half of their face is directed to Europe. So they get influence from Western Europe, like right. Germany and the Netherlands and Denmark and France and Italy and Spain. And the other half is directed to China and to India, to the East. So this is why they have this holistic view on health and why they win so many Nobel Prizes in medicine. And so they developed this technology. And then when the walls went down, it came in Germany. And so they have also this psycho-emotional database in this technology where we can measure these imprints, for example, in the womb, but also when traumas happen. Because when a trauma happens, it's literally a mark in the brain, in a nervous system, in the hypothalamus tract. I can see it in the scan, literally sometimes where it's spotted. Mm-hmm. And then we can see, for example, hey, there was some bullying when this girl was 4 years old.
Right.
And this still works through now. And then to become conscious about it, so that's why we call it the conscious scan, and conscious is with a Z as a playful element, yes. So that people can learn and grow in awareness and make better conscious decisions for their health and well-being. And yeah, trauma is something, I had my trauma myself when I was, so I had a Czech father from Czechoslovakia, my mother was Dutch, I'm born in the Netherlands. But when I was 3 years old, my mother called us upstairs and said, yeah, daddy and mommy will separate. We will divorce. And mm-hmm. I was 3 years old. I really didn't really know what they mean or what that meant. But the day came and my father just dropped us at an orphanage and he just drove off.
Oh, what?
So you see your big hero driving off your mother. And then suddenly I realized this is real, and you feel so abandoned. And I was sitting in a bed, and my brother, who was 11 months older, really everything was pouring out of his mouth. He was almost blue. He was crying and screaming. And with me, because he did that, I think I wanted to be there for him. For me, it went all inside me, and it was so traumatic. So I had so much work later to heal that trauma. The good news is, the more you go inward, the more you can go outward. So yes. It put me on a very strong healing path. And it's, in the end, it has brought me a lot. But yeah, so many people neglect their traumas. And then it can really, really influence your performance, your health, your well-being, and then your body will take it over. Because at a certain moment, a certain organ will start to cry. And in the traditional Chinese medicine, which is 5,000 years old, different emotions work on different organs. When, for example, anger, which is not processed well, mm-hmm. and when it becomes anger, works on the liver and the gallbladder. And then it can come out of balance. I can see it in the scan. Or, for example, grief or not accepting life will work on the lungs. Or fear will work on the kidneys. Or sorrow will work on the stomach and the pancreas and the spleen. And so if those things are not felt, not transformed, then the body will make a signal. And it can be, and if the signal is not attended to, is not the person still doesn't want to become aware of the signal, then the signal becomes stronger because the disbalance becomes stronger. And in the end, it's actually a tool to grow in consciousness. I believe very much that you are aware of the pattern behind it, the disease is no longer useful.
Yeah.
That's, for example, the book, The Healing Journey of Brendan Beza. I don't know, have you ever read it or heard about that book? Did you,
no,
Stacey?
I haven't.
You
know, no.
Well, just to make it short, it's from Brendan Beza. She worked with Anthony Robbins. So she was in the field of health.
Yes.
And then suddenly she got this huge, huge tumor in her belly, like as big as a football, so to say.
Yeah.
And she was really embarrassed and ashamed because she was teaching people about health and healthy nutrition and stuff. But making long term short, she found out that there was a trauma beneath it, which she never had attended.
Wow.
And so then in a very deep hypno-meditation, she found out and she freed that inner child. And then the tumor disappeared because she was aware what had happened in her body. And so the reaction of the body was no longer necessary. Of course, it will not always be this easy, but the consciousness part is very, very important for people also to release trauma.
90% of, you know, of our subconscious is stored in our brain. You know, sometimes we don't even remember. We put it out of our, you know, thoughts, but we might not remember it because it happened when we were younger. Or sometimes when traumatic things happen, we tend to ignore it, or we tend to, it's, you know, like we can't remember the details all of a sudden, and it gets stored in our subconscious. But all those things are still there, and our body still remembers them, because and it plays a, I think, plays a huge role on our health, our mental health, physical health, our spiritual well-being. I think it affects all areas of life. And they say over 100% of illness is caused by stress. So really what you're saying too is when that stress develops, you know, it can happen from a traumatic event. It could happen anything that it, you know, that is not resolved, that we can't get over in life. That stress, that trauma, you know, from what I understand, is being stored in different parts of the body sometimes. And it, after a certain amount of time, you know, that's when the illnesses could pop up. And that, you know, because it's really, it's hurting our body in more ways than we realize. Either our heart, our spleen, our liver, our, you know, digestive system, you know, it really seems like it plays a humongous role on our overall health, is when we can't overcome those stresses and that trauma in our life.
So true, so true. I remember this story about an American actor, famous American actor, but there was a story of Marissa Peer, a very well-known psychotherapist from England. And there was this American actor. She didn't mention his name from confidentiality purposes, but he has seen so many psychotherapists, and he was kind of a hawk, very not so sympathetic with them.
Yes.
And then he heard about her, and then he said to her assistant, please call this famous psychotherapist from England. So she came. What he was warned, and when she would rent a car, don't rent a Porsche because he doesn't like Porsches, which is a fancy car, of course.
Yeah.
It's a very good German car, but no Porsche. Okay, she didn't. And she rented another nice car, and she arrived at the place, huge house in Hollywood, and this was not good, and that, and the neighbors. And he went on and on and on with complaining, and then they sat down, and he went on and complaining. And then after 10 minutes, he said, okay, stop, stop, stop. And he was like, what? What the heck is going on? I meet a big actor and she's saying, stop to me. No therapist ever had done that before. She said, I already see the problem.
Yeah.
And he was totally flabbergasted. I said, you already see the problem. So what's the problem? You think you are not enough.
Yeah.
And these words made him cry like a baby.
Yes. It
so
hit the
everything
surface.
Came out, and he heard. And then he was talking about his father, and it was never good enough, and he was playing hockey or whatever, and it should always be better. And so constantly this voice of his father of not being good enough was still playing out with him. And then she said, okay, have a walk, because he was so emotional. She said, yeah, have a walk in your garden. And at that time, she took her lipstick and she wrote on every mirror in the house, I am enough. And he had to let it on the mirrors for like 2 months. And
I love
so
it.
He was. Yeah, every day you had to look at. And it's a basic thing what so many people lack, and being enough.
Yes.
And I think a lot of stress has to do with wrong self-identity.
Yes.
That's because, and especially what people are missing is the spiritual part. Mm-hmm. The physical part, healthy nutrition, exercise, okay. And the emotional part is quite difficult. We have already seen it. The mental part, like willpower or helping thoughts, okay, we can handle that, and manifesting and things. But the spiritual dimension, who am I? Like, for example, you have this great sage from India. Ramana Maharshi. He only had a cloth, small cloth on, that's it, to cover his genitals. For the rest, he didn't have any possessions, and he was in this total state of beingness. So he was in this, in the yoga, they call that samadhi, that you are one with everything, and your inner nature is pure bliss. And so he was in this samadhi state, and even the ants would eat like his legs and everything. His whole body was in dust because he was in this beyond time and space, in this full realized state. So this is pure bliss. Now, that's your pure identity. And his only question he always said to his students, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
That was actually what the mantra he told his students. And then people think, yeah, I'm John. And no, your name is John. Who is you?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here. It's my body. No, you have a body. Okay. Yeah, but I think a lot. Yes, you have thoughts. You are not John. You have thoughts and you have feelings. And so then slowly but steadily, his students realize they are pure consciousness, pure awareness, having thoughts, having feelings, having a body. And so if you identify with this infinite source, infinite consciousness, then also fear of death vanishes, because all stress in the end, because this is the topic of today, is fear of death.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Okay, let's say you are working at your business, and then you will just enter your office and your boss arrives and says, hey, Jacqueline, hey, let's say you're a woman, will you come to my office in a minute, 5 minutes? And Jacqueline thinks, what the heck, my boss. And immediately she starts thinking, oh, my boss, right. I will be fired. And if I will be fired, I will not have money. I cannot eat food. I will die. And this happens with the speed of light in a thought. So right. The boss calls you and Jacqueline thinks she's dying. Because stress is fear of death.
Yes.
So if you self-identify with pure eternal consciousness, having a human experience, and maybe mm-hmm. take different cloth, and maybe now, like, I'm a white guy, maybe my previous life I was a black woman, and maybe next life I will have a yellowish skin and I will be born in China, for example. It doesn't matter, because it's consciousness having an experience.
Right.
And so if you meditate on that, that's very important to also inhibit the spiritual layer.
Yes.
Because then I always do it. When I get too stressed, of course, I've also sometimes have 7 children. I have a big family. I have my own business.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm also a Western guy. I can also fall in the trap. But when I do, then I sit down.
Yes.
And then I go back to my heart, because your heart is always beyond time and space. Because your spiritual essence, you find the easiest in your heart. Maybe
right.
We can do an exercise later with heart coherence exercise. But when you touch your heart, it's 5,000 times stronger electromagnetically than your brain. And then it's like coming home, because your heart is always positive and peaceful. Stress is made by thoughts in the brain. And then you get immediately, when you are in the heart, out of the matrix,
mm-hmm.
out of everything.
Yes.
And back to stillness and back to this eternal consciousness, which is in the heart. And
right.
then for me, the stress dissolves, and then I start just breathing, some heart-focused breathing. And that's my way out. And then I feel replenishment very quickly in my whole body.
Yes.
You can chant a mantra. So for every person, this will be different. But I think if you, people who don't have yet discovered this spiritual layer, they will suffer more from stress.
I agree. And your own journey began with early childhood and adversity. How did you shape this work for you?
Yeah, very much so. So my first job, actually, I studied business economics, as I just said, and I did that because my father was director at PwC in the Netherlands, one of the big five accountancy firms. It's an American company, PwC.
Yes.
Yeah, so we thought, and I started working with Accenture, which is another big American consulting firm.
Yes.
And so we thought, well, my son is doing great. He's going to work with Accenture. He's going to be a partner there and earn a lot of money. So it was typical path. But I was not happy at all with Accenture at that time. It was not my kind of work. It was not my passion. I was not living what I know now is your ikigai. Eh? The Japanese call that your ikigai. When you live your ikigai, you do something
yes.
that you like, and then you become good at it, but that happens automatically because you love what you are doing.
Right.
Then, of course, the world has to need it, and then you have to be paid by it. Then you are
right.
in your ikigai. So I think you, in your podcast, you must be in your ikigai, Stacey. Are you or not?
I am.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's also what you radiate out. So, but at that time, I wasn't at all. Let's say from 1 to 10, it was a 2.
Yes.
I just did it. Yes, of course, I had a nice car, a lease car, and I could make a big show with the girls at that time. And I was, you know, look, this, you're busy with those kind of things when you're like 22 and you're a nice fancy car with a big beat. And, you know, but I was really unhappy in myself. It was not, and I was not spiritual at all in that time. So I really had to work that through myself.
Right.
Then I started meditating and something really, really, really peculiar happened. I was not good at meditating in the beginning. It was a form of meditation called transcendental meditation, where you receive a mantra and Sanskrit mantra. And a mantra has a tendency to travel to its source, which they call the unified field, where there's utter silence. But I was not silent at all. I had this very busy mind and I'm a double Gemini, so constantly. Yeah. So that's why I started meditating in the first place, to quiet that busy voice down.
Right.
And suddenly what happened? I was in Rotterdam. I had my room. I was sitting in the couch and I thought, okay, I'm going to meditate because I was so busy in my head. So I started my mantra and my mantra and my mantra. And suddenly, I think, what the heck? What happens? I drop in this field of silence. And suddenly a face appears in front of me, very peaceful face, brown eyes, gray hair. Now I have a beard. At that time I hadn't at all. A gray beard and like a brown scarf.
Yeah.
And it was like utter bliss. I thought, what's happening to me? Wow, this was so beautiful. I was like in total ecstasy. I never experienced. And my mind was totally quiet. Later I discovered this called the samadhi state or satori state, which just happened spontaneously at that moment.
Yes.
Okay, but then I had to drive. 1 week later, I went to the yoga class and I was a little bit late. So I had to, the only place was left was somewhere in the corner. So I went to that corner and I saw this table because I had to make a twist like this at a little table with a picture on it. And it was exactly the face that appeared in my meditation.
Yes.
So I asked my yoga teacher, who is this person? And he appeared in my meditation. And then he said, well, this is an enlightened teacher from India. And he will be here in 1 month. He will travel from India to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And so 1 month later, I was sitting in front of him. And then he said, yes, I appeared in your meditation. We are, and that we knew each other from previous lives when I was also a disciple. And that this life was actually quite to finish the job, so to say. And yeah, that changed so many things for me and set me on a spiritual journey. And I think spirituality and the material world, everything can go together.
Yes.
They are not separate worlds. I think abundance is your nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that there should be abundance for everybody because
100%.
Energy is abundant. A lot of our programs sometimes block it. And that's a shame. Long story short, the spiritual dimension will enrich, I think, the whole growth.
I love that. Now, let's give people something that they could use today, because I know that you love leaving listeners with practical tools. So actually, you teach practical approaches for stress regulation, heart coherence, and resilience. Can you share some of them with us?
Yeah, so I would do my favorite exercise because sometimes it's good to stick with one or two things which really are simple and helpful. So for me, heart coherence is such a method. And maybe we can just do it for the listeners and the viewers. Is that an idea?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah? So put your feet firmly on the ground, on the floor, and sit with a straight back. Then at first I want to invite you to put your hands on your heart area, on the chest, and then close your eyes and just feel the warmth of your hands on your heart. And in the East, they call your heart your safe place. As just explained, your heart from itself is always peaceful and positive. Thoughts come from the brain. So this first step we call heart focus, out of the brain into the body in this strong electromagnetic field of the heart, which is 5,000 times stronger than the brain. And now I want to invite you just very intelligently and conscious heart focus breathing. So I want to invite you to breathe in about 5 seconds as if you're breathing into the hands and the heart. Charge yourself with fresh energy. And as if you're breathing out to the heart and the hands, let go of every negativity and tension. Let go. And keep that rhythm 5 seconds in through the heart area and 5 seconds out. And with every out breath, let go more and more of tension of possible negativity. This will balance the accelerator and the brake of the autonomic nervous system, and the pressure wave from the heart to the whole body will become coherent, which instantly neutralizes stress. And now we go one step further. Activate a positive feeling where you would like a little bit more of. It could be like power, could be like enthusiasm, gratefulness, enthusiasm, and just a word is enough. Let's say, for example, power. So breathe in power through the heart, and when you breathe out, relax in that word, power, and keep that rhythm. Again, when you breathe in 5 seconds, breathe in power and send it to every cell of your body from the heart. And when you breathe out, relax in power. And now I want to ask you, release the hands of the heart area, but as if these hands are still there, continue the exercise. And now with eyes open. So keep the heart-focused breathing with eyes open as if these hands are still there. So you can practice this everywhere, at the dentist, in a meeting. And know when I will measure you, when I would measure you now with the heart-heart coherence measurement, your heart will be very coherent and stress will have disappeared for sure. Okay.
Wow, that was powerful.
Yeah. So if you do this like 4 times between 1 or 2 minutes. Yeah? When we do this in big corporations, yeah? Like for example, Accenture or Unilever or Philips or Shell or whatever, after 3 months, on average, the stress reduction will be 40%.
Wow.
Statistically significant, of statistically validated questionnaires. So it works very strong. And if you sit like 3 times in a week, a little bit longer, like 5 to 10 minutes, and put on a nice music and do this heart coherence, the whole nervous system will balance. And in our conscious scan, we see a lot of this balance in the autonomic nervous system. And so when I learn people this, and for example, when they come back 3 weeks later, I measure them again with the conscious scan, and I see, for example, this big relief. So it's a very simple yet very powerful evidence and science-based stress regulation technique.
Wow. And what's the one simple practice that tends to make the biggest difference?
For me, it's this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For me, it is very powerful.
I am a yoga teacher, so I know a lot of so-called pranayamas, breathing techniques through the nose, and also very complicated one with kumbhakas,
yes,
and that you hold the breath and release and that you send it. But this simple heart-focused breathing does the job for me.
It was very powerful. I could feel it. I could feel the difference, and I could feel how it was going through my body. And it had the, especially when we did the word powerful, and it just seemed like the breath was stronger. And then it just seemed like it went more throughout my body. Like the more I did it, the more it seemed like it was traveling, and which was pretty amazing.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And you can also make an attitude reset out of it. And let's, for example, you feel very sad, and then you can reset your attitude. And like say, what do I need now? Comfort, for example.
Right.
And then you breathe in the word comfort and you comfort yourself.
Yes.
Or you need cheerfulness. Then give yourself cheerfulness because your heart will really take it on.
Yes.
And that's why you can give yourself anything and everything if you want. And the nice thing about this heart coherence technique is that we can measure it. For example, in the police, we've trained 60,000 police officers here in the Netherlands.
Wow.
In a mental resilience training, and heart coherence was a big part of it. And then I just put 12 police officers with 12
yeah,
laptops, and I do it with the software of the HeartMath Institute. We do a baseline measurement, and then you see on average like 80-90% red, which means stressed, high incoherence.
Wow.
And then they do the exercise, and on the spot, they see their heart rhythm change from red to green, from stress to flow, and they are just amazed.
Wow.
And that's why this is so successful, because you can measure it. It's evidence-based and science-based. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's the most applied stress regulation technique now in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, because also of all the scientific background in it. That's why big corporations, they love evidence-based, science-based. They want to see all the studies. And then think, oh, wow, this is really, really something. Yeah, so if you have some chance to practice it, that's good. But I would say any mindfulness practice will do. What I also do very much for myself is mantra chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Mantras, as just shortly explained, with also with the transcendental meditation, are very powerful, which come from the unified field and which have the tendency to travel back to the unified field. So they may, if you see your mind as an ocean, the very busy and very wild ocean at the surface, and when your mind goes, and then those are generally the beta waves.
Yes.
It's like between 12 and 24 hertz. So when you go a little bit deeper, you come into this alpha waves, which are like between 8 and 12 hertz, and then you go down, and then you come to theta and delta waves. And in the end, you travel to the silent ocean in the middle, where everything is pure awareness and consciousness.
Wow.
And it's what you do actually with every form of meditation, whether it's following the breath, whether it's be a mantra or whatever. It's actually bringing the mind back home, so to say, to stillness. And same actually is in quantum physics. Like the technology I work with is a quantum physics technology.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a photo. And for example, when I do a body mind scan for people, use this cell analysis box. It's medically certified. And then you can put here a piece of hair or a piece of nail. And then with the birth date, the gender, living address, and then these data combined, then you get a very accurate measurement of the bioenergy field, because in quantum physics, time and distance doesn't matter. And also in quantum physics, you get from the material world, for example, a hair. When you go deeper in the hair, you cells, then you go to the atoms, then you go to the quarks. And in the end, also, you end up in a unified. So the mind goes to the unified field, but matter as well. And in the end, the unified fields actually connects everything and everybody. And so with meditation, that's why Einstein said physics in the end will become metaphysics. And that's what quantum physics is doing. It's actually the spiritual answer to physics.
Right.
Because in the end, spirituality and quantum physics meet each other. And what Einstein also said, that the language of the universe is mathematics. And so this conscious scan method, which I use, is 50 years of research in the quantum field. And it's all quantum physics. Like when I have your photo, for example, I put it in a cell analysis box. And when I have your address, your birth date, your age and stuff, then we have such an accurate scan of your whole body. And also, for example, personalized nutrition. That's what... In the soccer world, people love very much. They say, oh, Daniel, please scan our players again because we want this nutritional advice. And then you see if a player misses vitamin B12 or, let's say, iron or vitamin C or D or glucose, lycopene or whatever. And then you see what nutrition is suitable, neutral, unsuitable, amino acids. It's unbelievable. Yeah, and 100% personalized, so quick. You can calculate based on a photo or a piece of hair or nail.
I love that. And so what do you want everyone to, you know, that's listening to this show today, to personally understand about stress, about their own body, and about what becomes possible when they finally learn to work with it instead of against it?
Yeah, first, I would say embrace it and don't fight it. And when you feel stressed, first acknowledge it. It's there. You're feeling a hurry and just feel it in your body and breathe through it. Hey, let it be. Be mindful with it. Don't fight it. It's there. Everything what you fight, again, as we said, it will become larger and bigger and greater. And so just embrace it and listen. What is the signal behind it? What does this feeling wants to tell you? And that's very, very, very important.
Yes, definitely. And can you tell us about the services that you provide?
Yes. Maybe two things are interesting for the viewers and listeners is if they want to experience a body mind scan, conscious scan with a Z. I offer also a 50% discount with the discount code STACY in capital letters. So then they receive 50% discount. If you're curious, okay, I also want to experience such a conscious scan. And then in the show notes, they can find it. And the second one is my mission is to contribute to global health and well-being. So therefore, I really love to certify coaches who want to become a conscious scan coach themselves. And this can be well-being coaches, vitality coaches, mental coaches, life coaches, naturopathic doctors, physiotherapists who want to work with this really advanced quantum technology to help their clients very, very fast go to the core of the matter. Generally, I do 5 sessions of 1 hour, and it's amazing what kind of quantum leaps you experience. So for those interested coaches, I have a free masterclass every month, and I teach people from all over the world in this method. And that's what I love, because I think together we can raise the frequency of the planet.
Definitely.
Person by person by person. So if you help to balance person A and then B and C, and then you make this movement around the earth, which they call the Maharishi effect. If you have the square root of 1% of a group more coherent, it will have a directly measurable effect on the entire group.
Yes.
And so let's say you have 1,600 people, you only need 1% is 16, the square root of that 4 people to be highly coherent, to have a positive impact on the entire group.
Yeah.
So if we are with this team of conscious scan coaches and with this really beautiful technology, which is applied by huge corporations, by the Dutch police, by top athletes, and then we can help heal so many people. And you can do it totally online. I'm here based in the Philippines now. I just lived 2 years in Spain, before that in the Netherlands. But I can, my whole body-mind scanning with conscious scan is online with a cell analysis book. So you make yourself totally free. You work on health and well-being of other people, and you earn yourself an income totally online. And so that's what a lot of people are looking for, I've heard and find out. So if you're interested in that, then also in the link, you can subscribe yourself for the free masterclass about the Conscious Scan Coach Certification Program.
I love it. And for the listeners out there, it turns out that stress, the stress that we carry, was never just in our heads. It lives in our bodies, our health, and our lives. But once we understand it, we can begin to heal it. And Daniel has spent a lifetime helping people do exactly that. And today he showed us that awareness, regulation, and resilience can transform not just how we feel, but how we live. And Daniel, I want to thank you so much for being here. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you and learn more about your work and about the Conscious Method?
Yeah, so the easiest is to go to my website, conscious.com, which is with a Z. So actually it's the English word for conscious. But when I developed this brand, it was already taken. I had to pay like $1 million if I wanted to have the domain conscious with an S.com. So I thought, oh, what the heck? I want to work on consciousness growth. So let's make it playful. We use a Z in the end. So it has become conscious with a Z.com. And then the conscious scan you will find also on the website. And I think in the show notes, I will put the direct link to this 15% discount on a conscious scan, body and mind scan session, and also for the free masterclass.
I love it. And if this conversation spoke to you, share it with someone who has been carrying more stress than they realize. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Daniel. You know, everyone suffers from stress to some degree. And for some people, it overwhelms them. And sometimes it makes them so ill that they're not able to cope and function to their full potential. You know, I learned a lot from you. And your story was very touching as well. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you'll come back and join us again. And, you know, you're making a wonderful contribution, helping others, you know, deal with stress and deal with the trauma they've been through in life. And I think it's so important that people learn how to overcome that trauma, how to overcome stress so they can really live a happy, healthy, and productive life. And that you're doing that right now. I want to say thank you. And I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey, and for your beautiful work.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. You have a great day.
Same to you. Thank you.